This is Radio Influence, podcasting redefined.
You're listening to Crush Performance with the Crusher, Jeff Crushell. Get in on the talent grid and text Crush at 101260 with your questions, comments, or smart-ass remarks.
Everybody. Hey, welcome to Crush Performance. It is Jeff Crushell and the Con Man here. We're your weekly source for performance information. Welcome to the show. Hey, today we are going to be looking at a number of different topics. We're going to start it off with a conversation about Major League Baseball. We're going to get into hockey development. There's a great, great tournament going on, bringing together some of the best young talent in the world. And then later in the show, we're going to sort of preview the NFL as the preseason is well underway. There's some interesting storylines we want to get to. And then at the end, we're going to talk about the very fabric of sport in general, and that is coaching for sure. Listen, if you want to get in touch with us, do so. Crushperformance.com is the website. Info at crushperformance is the email. On Twitter, you could follow us at Jeff Crush. On Facebook and all social media, check out Crush Performance and check us out. You can get our newsletter and the podcast on the website. Subscribe. We're just keeping you on the cutting edge of performance. Con Man, my good friend, how you doing, big fella?
Crush, I am very good. Good to be here this kind of smoky Saturday.
Yeah.
So not as bad as yesterday, but a little bit.
This is a good Saturday to be in the studio. Sometimes it's tough to be sitting in here, but in the afternoon talking shop, it's never that difficult. Trust me, for sure.
Sometimes the lake's calling. Not as much today.
Yeah, right. You're right. I'm with you there for sure. But there are quite a few things going on in the world of sport. You know, it's been a great summer, I think, for sport in general. And you know, if we look at some of the big events that have happened, we've got the FIFA World Cup that's gone on. We have the NFL kicking off. Major League Baseball is well underway. We have rumblings from the NBA. NHL is starting to take shape with some of the off-season moves. A lot of cool things going on. And college sports are starting to come back together now, too. So it's a pretty exciting time of year. I love August. It's just sort of a prelude to September when all hell breaks loose in just about every front. But there's one sport that is kind of struggling, and that is Major League Baseball. And I think if we really try to look what's going on here, you know, if you're a baseball fan, even if you're not, there's something to learn here. But Connor, I have a question for you. Do you think we've ever seen this much of a change inside of a professional sport ever? Like, I mean, maybe in our lifetimes, I know there's been some big changes, but we are seeing before our eyes a sport literally changing. And there's a bunch of issues that baseball is facing right now. For example, if we look at some of the data that's coming out recently here, that's sort of raising concern. Of course, Rob Manfred, just after the All-Star break, addressed the baseball world with some of his concerns. And number one at the top of the list was the attendance. All right. The first week and a half of the season, leagues have already drawn fewer fans, okay, in one of their games than their entire season in 2016. Every single team in Major League Baseball, let me just sort of reframe that. Every single team in Major League Baseball had their lowest attendance beat in the first week of baseball, all right, than all of last season. Okay, it's the sixth straight year MLB has drawn fewer fans. The record was in 2007, which I recall was a vintage year for baseball, but they tapped out almost at 80 million fans going through the turnstiles. And it's dropped every year since. Batters are striking out almost 24% of the time. Fastballs are down a bit. They're at 93.6, which is exciting. The 100-mile-an-hour fastball we're seeing more than ever, so that's maybe on the upside. But teams are using more than four pitchers per game. The average length of a game is it's well over the three-hour mark. Okay, it's right around 3 hours and 5 minutes on average. We're seeing games go into 4 minutes. And we're seeing teams like Toronto with record-breaking drops in attendance, over 400,000 fewer fans to this point in time than last year. It's a scary time for baseball. Have we seen this before?
Yeah, I don't know. And I mean, I think there's a lot of things that you could look to for reasons. I mean, in Toronto, it's obvious they're losing. They're not as good as they were last year. Well, even last year, they were struggling, but at least there was some optimism. You had Josh Donaldson out there coming off of strong season and Troy Tulowitzki. This year, you don't even have those guys playing, so it drops off there. We're in an age of technology where you can watch these games from home. It's a lot cheaper than going to the ballpark. And I think one of the problems with baseball that's, you know, it's always been there. It's such a long season. If you miss 10 games, it's not that big of a deal. You can still go to, you know what, 71 other home games. There's so many games to go to. It's not like an NFL season where you have 8 regular season home games. If you miss one, you're missing a large portion of the season, so you want to be there for it. Major League Baseball, there's just so many games you can go to, and it is a little bit slow. You talk about the use of all these extra pitchers. I mean, that just slows the game down. It's like the modern generation doesn't really care for that. We're the Twitter generation, 140 characters or less. That's all we need. And baseball just really doesn't apply to maybe that group of people.
Let me throw this at you. Do you think it has to do with the on-field performance? Is it the balls and strikes, the home runs? Is it the number of pitchers, the length of the games? Or could it be, let me throw something at you here, the cost of the games? Because we know for a fact the cost of the games have gone up consecutively for at least the last 5 years, maybe for the last decade.
Yeah, I mean, that could definitely be it. That's something that I don't really face living in Edmonton. I went to the Prospects game for like $20 on Wednesday night. It was a blast. There's great performances going on, though. You look at what Mookie Betts is doing, oh, JD Martinez, Markakis. There's a lot of guys who are having great seasons this year. You know, Aaron Judge, I mean, he's hurt, but he's a, you know, prime time player, guy you like to watch. He hits home runs.
There's great young talent.
Absolutely.
Mike Trout is still doing what Mike Trout does, even though a little bit off and on injuries. But listen to this. Here's a great stat for everybody out there. Major League Baseball attendance is down. We know that streaming television, that's where they're getting there. It's still a $10 billion business. They're doing quite well regardless, but they're worried about this decline. There's nothing like going to a ball game, right? The minor league attendance is up. Minor league attendance is up almost 2.4% from last year, Connor. Does that tell you anything? Like, does that sort of lead you? That's what led me down the path of thinking, is Major League Baseball getting too expensive? I know friends. I have friends that live in New York. They can't afford to take their family to a game. It's just, you can't do it. It gets down to be $100 per person.
It might be cheaper to take the drive out to Buffalo and watch Vlad Guerrero Jr. in AAA.
And it would always be, yeah, absolutely. And it may be as or more exciting, right? And we've seen this before in the game. So baseball has some demons it's dealing with. I think the game's going to be healthy, but have we seen a change? Now, here's something that's interesting, right? We know that Mike Trout has come out and said that recently, and this is post All-Star game, he's come out and flat out said that I would take less money to play fewer games. He feels it would be better for the game of baseball, making a little more, like maybe providing a little more urgency per game, right? That's an idea for sure. But then we have some really, really interesting things coming over the wire here the last 2 days. And I'm surprised it took this long to really, really come out like this. Jason Worth, Goose Gossage, and some other really serious veterans of the game are looking towards analytics as being a game changer and not for the better. If you go on to the Washington Post, if you just Google Jason Worth right now, you'll see some of his comments. And I believe they're calling them super nerds. These guys that have never played a game, coming from Ivy League schools. This is a generalization. I know some of these analytic guys and they're true baseball fans, even if they've never played the game. But Connor, could analytics be reshaping a game that's been pretty solid for hundreds of years?
I mean, yeah, but stats have always been a part of baseball. We've always had that, oh, this guy numbers hits game. Whatever the percentage is against left-handed pitchers. That's not good. Let's bring in a righty. I mean, I think that's always been a part of it. There's things like the shift that get a little bit annoying to watch. And, you know, you and I talked about it before we got on air here. It's like, if a guy can't hit it to one third of the field, well, why would you put somebody in that area? If he can't do it at this level, then play your odds and get the easy out. You do what it takes to win. But there's still guys out there that are fun to watch. I love watching Kevin Pillar. I mean, that guy's a superstar. Oh. And he's not a very good batter. But what he does in the outfield is amazing. I mean, there's still guys that make these big splash plays. I don't think the game's getting worse in that aspect. You still have these superstars, but the old school guys don't like the stats guys. That's the same with hockey as well. We hear it in Edmonton all the time.
Yeah, good point. Good point. And I think there's a place for stats, but has it gone too far? That's a question we can have for another day. We're going to be talking analytics later this fall, but it's a big question. The bottom line is fewer fans are going to the games. Is it cost? Is it the game itself? You know, I think if you really polled fans in general who go to baseball games, I don't even think they, for the most part, really care who's on the field as long as it's a great ball game, as long as there's a game going on. You know what I mean?
It's almost the nostalgia of going to the ballpark and having a hot dog. And
there's nothing like it. Taking your boy, taking your young girl to a ball game. You're right. Having a hot dog, cheering for the home team. That's what baseball really is. Now, we get all this information coming from all of these media types who live, eat, and breathe baseball. The players live, eat, and breathe baseball. I think if we're really going to look to find a solution in terms of the attendance question, I mean, look, we've got to talk about the television and streaming. The access to the game is so easy. You can watch it, maybe even have a better perspective from your couch at home and your computer than sitting in a ballpark. But we still want people to go to the games.
I mean, look no further than Jays in 30. You don't even have to watch the full game. You just avoid social media for 3 hours. A couple of hours later, you throw on Jays in 30 and you watch a game in 30 minutes.
Since sliced bread, my man, has there been anything better?
I love it.
Me too. I love it.
I know when the Jays were really having that strong season and made the playoffs back-to-back years, we would go to BC in the summer with my family. My dad's never been a big baseball fan. Is he going to sit there and watch a three-hour game? Probably not. But was he missing Jays in 30 at 6 o'clock in the evening? Not a chance, because he could watch it that fast and see exactly what happened.
It's a beautiful thing. It is a beautiful thing. Well, I want to get to the bottom of it, and that brings us to our text Twitter question of the day. You can text us at 101260. You can get us on Twitter at Jeff Crush. The question is pro sport getting too expensive? Is it getting too expensive for you, your pals, your family to go and enjoy a serious game? Let us know. Get to us. 101260 is the Twitter number, and Twitter is at Jeff Crush. Listen, when we come back, we're going to cut off for a quick break here. When we come back, we're going to get to a really great event and a really great opportunity for some of the world's greatest hockey players. It's a Helenka Gretzky Cup that's going on in Edmonton right now, bringing together some of the world's best U18 hockey players. But there's also an interesting summit going in parallel with that. It's called the Center Ice Summit. We're going to be joined by Paul Carson, Vice President of Member Development for Hockey Canada, to talk about the tournament, what it means for the players and player development, and also what the summit means for the game of hockey. Right after this on Crush Performance, stick around, everybody.
I'm Jerry Petuck, CEO of Radio Influence. I just wanted to take a quick moment to say thank you for downloading and subscribing to this podcast. There are a lot of people behind the scenes here at Radio Influence that work hard to keep you entertained day in and day out. If you'd like to get involved and advertise on this program, or you have some show ideas that you'd like to see us add to the Radio Influence family, please email us at contact@radioinfluence.com. We all have crazy schedules, so the fact that you took time out of your busy day to let us entertain you for a while means a lot. Without you, the listeners, we wouldn't exist, so thank you again for downloading and subscribing to this show. Don't forget to check out radioinfluence.com to see what other shows we also have to offer. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, radioinfluence.com.
Recovery is king in the world of sport performance, and anytime we find a way to help speed up recovery, we're on it. If you've heard our episodes on The Meltdown, where we talk about the movement away from using ice for injuries and recovery, you've also heard us talk about the Mark Pro and how so many athletes, schools, and pro teams are now using this great tool, not just for injuries, but on a day-to-day basis to increase recovery and ultimately your state of readiness. We're using the Mark Pro, our athletes are using the Mark Pro, and you can too. Go to markpro.com and get more information. If you think it's right for you, use the code CRUSHSP, that's K-R-U-S-H-S-P, recover faster and play harder. More Crush Performance coming up right now. All right, welcome back, everybody. Crush Performance is the website. At Jeff Crush is the Twitter account on all media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, and check out our YouTube channel. We've done some cool things there, having a ton of fun with that. Just search Crush Performance. Connor, great conversation so far. Hey, some great texts as well. Again, the text question of the day, everybody. 101260 is a text. You can also get to us on Twitter at Jeff Crush. Is pro sport getting too expensive? This one's come in. I think it's definitely expensive, but it forces you to figure out alternatives. Kijiji, StubHub, etc. I'm by no means wealthy, but I still go to 4 to 6 Oilers games per year. So you can work it out. You got to budget yourself now because it is getting more expensive. But is that something that pro sports is facing in terms of, you know, pushing fans away?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I think that makes you find alternatives. You mentioned AAA games for baseball fans. I like this other text here. MLB issue is most teams are out of the playoffs by May. When you're that far behind, the incentive to go to these games isn't really there.
Yeah.
You see the teams that have they're in the race during the summer, the attendance isn't going to be an issue for them. But yeah, when they're not making it, why go, right? Just stay at home and watch it on TV.
And the Jays are a classic example. When they're winning, sure, that building is full.
It's one of the best.
Yeah, for sure. Well, hey, we want to change gears a little bit here because there is a very, very exciting event going on in Edmonton revolving around the game of hockey. And there's always lots to learn from these guys, for sure. We're joined now by Paul Carson, Vice President of Membership Development for Hockey Canada. Paul, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure, Jeff. Thanks for the opportunity.
Well, so good to have you on again here quickly. We had you on a few months ago, and it was a great conversation. But there's a great event going on. It's the Hlinka Gretzky Cup here. It's bringing together some of the world's best young hockey players. Let's just talk about this in terms of development, bringing these young players together from all over the world to play against their peers, but also maybe to get some exposure for maybe the next step in their careers.
Well, there's no question. It's a heavily scouted event. So under 17 would be heavily scouted by the CHL and junior hockey in Canada, because those are their prospects. And now you've got the under 18s that are just ahead of their draft, and they become a very lucrative commodity. And this is worldwide. We're not just talking about Canadian players. We're talking about the U.S. born players as well as the European players. So it's a great opportunity for scouts, and certainly in this case, the NHL scouts, to be seeing best on best and see, you know, what are the potential opportunities with these youngsters.
Paul, I'm just so enamored with these young talents and how good these kids are. Boy, hockey's come a long way since I was playing, my man. I'm telling you right now, it is just a pleasure to see. And I'm really, really enjoying watching these young players. And then, you know, being able to follow them over the next 3 to 5 years, this is going to be a lot of fun. And again, you know, for the teams who are sort of picking and choosing and trying to see who fits where, a very, very important time as well.
Well, it's interesting, you know, when you think about it. Tonight, Sweden's going to be in the final against Canada, and this is a 201 year, and there are some 202s, I think two or three on the Swedish roster, that are really, really good prospects. So very similar to Dahlin, who went first overall this year with Buffalo. You know, he really started to shine as an underage at the under 18 level, and obviously then played as an underage at the World Junior level. So you do see some youngsters that are really coming along very quickly in their development. Others, the pace is the regular pace, and it's the right kind of development step in their overall progress.
Yeah, I really like. We're talking with Paul Carson, the Vice President of Membership Development for Hockey Canada. Paul, I'm really, really actually happy, very happy to see the level of talent coming from the four corners of the earth. But I wanted to ask you about a couple programs that have just been an absolute powerhouse forces as they develop over the last few years. Hockey Canada, I think, is the target that everybody's shooting for, and of course, rightfully so. But to watch the U.S. and Sweden do what they do, boy, Paul, they're coming on big time, aren't they?
They are. And as a matter of fact, you know, you look at the talent across across all the spectrum. Today we were talking with Director of Player Development for Switzerland, and we were talking about Nico Hischier and looking at his development pathway, because I think it's important to study the pathway. And I know these players are very unique, but at the same time, there's a certain passion within them and a certain desire within them to succeed in the game. And we have to make sure that we have systems in place that actually allow for that pathway to take hold and not compromise or get in the way of how those players really want to develop. And you know, that personal drive and the support they get from their families and the instructors that work with them on a one-to-one basis, they deserve a lot of the credit. Our job is to make sure they've got a platform to showcase their talent. And certainly we play a bit of a role in developing their skill set. But we got to give a lot of credit to the player, and then we've got to give a lot of credit to the families for the support they provide the player.
Oh, for any sports family out there, you are singing to the choir. You're singing to the choir, preaching to the choir, no doubt about it, because we all know that nobody does it alone, Paul. And to have events like this is so important for the players that are ready, and also for the younger players to aspire to. These guys are going to go back to their countries, to their hometowns, large or small, and they're going to have a group of friends who have younger brothers and sisters who are all going to sort of be attached to the dream. That's how powerful this is.
There's no question the dream is something that's very important to every youngster in sport. Girls and boys, that it doesn't matter what sport they play, give them the opportunity to live through the dreams that they have. And if they have a passion for the sport, support them throughout. But I always want to say, and you've probably heard me say it many times, Jeff, that we really have to create a great environment for young people to grow up in, for young people to become members of society, productive members of society, make some great choices through sport. But those life lessons will serve them so well in any endeavor they pursue as they get older.
Yeah, Paul, so true. You know, true words haven't been spoken. There's so many benefits to being involved in sport and to be around this. We're talking with Paul Carson, Vice President of Membership Development for Hockey Canada. Paul, one thing I really wanted to broach with you is the whole concept of Hockey Canada. You know, we talk about, you know, the Russian programs. We talk about Sweden coming on strong. We talk about the U.S. really restructuring. I'm just proud to say, you know, how Hockey Canada operates and the way you guys go about sharing information for the betterment of the game in general. And there's a great program going in parallel with the Hlinka-Gretzky Cup, and that's the Center Ice Summit, which is all about building the game. Paul, so proud of Hockey Canada and what you guys do, just being a Canadian myself.
Well, first off, lots of credit to the Oilers Entertainment Group and to Bob Nicholson for his vision. First, I know this has been a labor of love of his, bringing the Hlinka-Gretzky Cup to Edmonton. He's worked on this for a number of years. But if you know Bob well, you know that he has a vision for all the things that can happen around a tournament like this and how it can bring the world together. So all the credit goes to Bob in terms of having that vision for an event like the Center Ice Summit. And then, you know, within our organization, I gotta give a lot of credit to, you know, our leadership group, Tom Rennie, our CEO, and mm-hmm. Scott Smith, our president, because, you know, they allow us to get 100% behind these events to, you know, to exercise our skills in putting on the various events that we worked in partnership with the Western Hockey League, with Hockey Alberta, with Hockey Edmonton. So it's been terrific. But I got to tell you about a session we did this afternoon. We did an international panel at the Hockey Alberta seminar with Switzerland, Germany, Slovakia, and we had the council member who is from the Czech, Peter Breeza. So we had a panel of four people. We talked about the IIHF plan, the world of hockey across the globe, and then we had three federations presenting. Now, when you think about it, those three federations, we're talking about one federation with 27,000 players, one with 26,000 players, and one with just under 12,000 players. Switzerland, Slovakia, and Germany, and they all compete against Canada at the top level in the game. We have 600,000 kids playing the game. So they're there sharing with us. We're always sharing with them. But I tell you, that community is such an exciting community to be a part of.
Oh, it sure is. That is a great story, by the way. And I'm always enamored by these countries who, you know, with smaller population bases, get it done. Isn't it awesome to see how they bring it together and to show everybody that it's absolutely possible to be competitive as well? I like your point earlier about the player and the player path and how individual it can be for players. But there's a lot to be learned when we look at how these young talents got to where they are. I mean, and there's a lot to, I guess, learn on both sides, how to maybe make the system better, but also to look at what's been successful and maybe improve upon that.
Well, we've got a young guy on the under-18 team, Cousins, from the Yukon. And when you think about his pathway, he had to leave the Yukon, you know, in his teen years to go down to BC and to play at a sports school to continue his development. And then now he's a star with Lethbridge in the Western League. And what a prospect this guy is. So when you think about it, rural Canada is the same as some of those smaller federations in that, you know, not every player in Canada has great opportunities right outside their doorstep. They have to travel a long way. Families have to make a commitment. So you study their pathways as well, and you wonder, how is the system going to accommodate players in those remote areas, in those regions far from urban centers, where you need to take resources to the player as opposed to bringing players into those large centers? Because that in itself is quite an expense, and we've got to figure out how to support every player in Canada in their development pursuits.
Yeah, and Canada has the challenge of the geographic landscape of Canada being so spread out, and the population base from coast to coast. That is an incredible challenge that a lot of other countries don't face. I mean, for example, working with the guys in the Netherlands, their national team trains together 3 times a week because they just drive across the country in 2 hours. So Canada has unique challenges. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, we always remind people we're 5.5 time zones wide.
Right. That in itself, that's a good perspective that, right
you
there.
You know, to get from one side of the country to the other side of the country is even hard to do on a single flight. So it's usually about an 8 to 9 hour day trying to get from Halifax to Vancouver. So we appreciate that we do have to regionalize the model. We do have to make sure that those development pieces happen. I think Hockey Alberta does a fantastic job with their 6 regional centers, because the regional center resource is in the community, as opposed to, you know, looking at families that are in smaller communities in the outskirts of major centers. We want to be able to take the game to them and make sure that they get the level of instruction and support that they require.
Yeah, I know. Great stuff, Paul. And I know one other thing that you guys really focus on, and rightfully so, is maybe the fabric of sport is what I'm referring it to. Paul, we're building up to 2 very, very important episodes this fall as everybody gets back on schedule, revolving around coaching and coaching development, from the grassroots, mom and dad's coaching their kids, right up to the collegiate, serious club coach, right up to the professional guys. Supporting our coaches is just one of the most important things we can do inside of our sporting organizations, and Hockey Canada is pulling no punches there with some of the online resources you have. Just incredible stuff.
Well, we worked hard, you know, recognizing we're in the 21st century. Technology is at the fingertips of everybody. So we want to make sure that, you know, we're taking advantage of those tools. I appreciate the lead into the Hockey Canada Network, which is a tablet-based, smartphone-based initiative that allows coaches to access resources at their fingertips, whether it's looking at drills, looking at skills, or building practice plans and then pushing them out to their coaching colleagues. But we're doing the same thing on our website. We're making sure that those things are available to coaches. The initiation and novice level programs that we think are so important to young coaches, mums and dads that are working with their young girls and boys on the ice, we're making those things available at no cost so that those things are available to coaches and don't present a barrier. You're right. Today's technology allows us to do a lot of very cool things. And I think that's our responsibility, is to make sure that the grassroots coaches that are at the volunteer level have the resources that help them do the best job they can.
Yeah. And Paul, do you think, you know, when we look across the board, and you and I have discussed this at length time and time again, but I think it's a very, very important part of the developmental sporting conversation is I'm just not rushing players, and being able to coach players within their age group and within their ability level, that's a real talent. And I guess, you know, if you're just a mom or dad at the younger developmental levels who maybe doesn't have a lot of experience inside of a sport or coaching a sport, that can be a challenge sometimes.
Well, this morning I presented to Hockey Edmonton, any folks that wanted to come to the open house, and there were a lot of international delegates that came to the presentation as well. And the presentation was, a player pathway is not a sprint, it's a marathon.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we really want parents to understand is there's a step-by-step process. There's logic in what youngsters need at different stages of their development. And that's in terms of both skill and age. So if you look at the long-term player development strategies for all sport in Canada, as well as sport-specific, we know what needs to happen at each development age, so, or each stage of development. So we really hope that parents will jump on that information and know that the decisions they're making, you know, to support cross ice or support half ice or small area games, station-based practices, that there's a reason why those resources are there for parents, because that is the progressive step that youngsters need to take when they're engaged in sport.
Right. Well, we talked about the half ice program, and I like the small area game. Such a great shift for skill development and giving kids the experience to touch the puck and be involved in the play. It's a great shift in the game, and I'm hoping we're going to see more and more of this, Paul, as we move forward.
I hope so, too. But you know what? I think the big message that I like to share with people is, and it's one of your favorite topics as well, and that's multi-sport engagement.
Mm-hmm.
I really like the promotional campaign. Really, Andre Lachance was one of the guys that was the driver from Baseball Canada. So we've got Baseball Canada, Soccer Canada, Basketball Canada, and Hockey Canada putting out a commercial with four of the top athletes sport in each of our four sports, promoting the idea that other sports have helped them develop athleticism and be more successful at their sports. So we also want parents to understand that we don't want to see kids in an 8-month hockey season or anything beyond that. We want to see kids engaged in other sport, developing an athletic base, enjoying the excitement and the thrill of other sport participation. And parents need to know that that will help those youngsters be better at their chosen sport as they get a little older.
Ah, great stuff, Paul Carson. Once again, a fabulous conversation. We could just talk for hours. Listen, congratulations on the summit to you and everybody there at the Oilers Entertainment Group, and actually everybody involved. It's been a fantastic success. The Hlinka Gretzky Cup is winding down with some unbelievable hockey. So I guess just pass on a congratulations to everybody there for us today as you guys wrap it up.
I will, Jeff, and I will say that Edmonton, as usual, has been an outstanding host. It's been great to be here.
Great, Paul. We'll look forward to touching base with you soon.
Thanks very much, Jeff. Take care.
Okay. There you go, everybody. That's Paul Carson, a Crush favorite and the Vice President of Membership Development for Hockey Canada. Listen, these types of events are really, really important. And, you know, if you notice, Paul mentions Baseball Canada, Basketball Canada, the U.S., Sweden, Slovakia, Czech. It's happening around the world, and it's really, really good for sport. If you haven't had a chance to check out some of the competition, there's a few games left in the Hlinka Gretzky Cup. I suggest you just check it out, even if you're not a hockey fan, because it's really great to see these young athletes getting an opportunity not just to play at a high level, to get noticed and seen by professional scouts and recruiters, but also to play amongst their peers and understand what they might need to do for the next level of the game. Really, really great stuff. All right, listen, we're going to cut out for a quick break. When we come back, we're going to wrap up this conversation. We're going to get back to our text question of the day, which is, is pro sports getting too expensive for you, your family, your pals to go take in a game? Is it getting too expensive? Is it one of the reasons MLB is seeing this attendance drop off, or are there other things at play? We've got some great texts coming in. 101260 is the text number. You can also get us on Twitter at Jeff Crush. Let us know what you think. Is pro sports getting too expensive? When we come back, we're going to talk about the NFL as preseason's underway. Some interesting storylines there. And Connor is an NFL expert. So we've got the con man coming up after this. And I'm also going to ask the question, as we talk about coaching and coaching development, the very fabric of sport, what are the top five things you would like to learn as a coach to help you be a better coach for the kids and age group you're working with? That's all coming up after this break on Crush Performance.
You're listening to Crush Performance, your weekly source for sport performance and athletic development information. Get the Crush blogs, podcasts, and performance links at crushperformance.com. Now, back to the show.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Crush Performance here. I am Jeff Grishel. The con man's here behind the glass keeping us on track. We're your weekly source for performance information. Listen, if you have any questions, comments, or smart remarks, get to us. We love them all. Crush Performance is the website. Info at Crush Performance is the email if you want to get in touch with us. You can also check out Twitter at Jeff Crush and all social media. Just search Crush Performance and we'll hook you up with the world of human performance A to Z. We answer every single message we get. That's something we take great pride in. And if you have a topic or a question that you want us to look into, let us know. We've dedicated segments, even entire episodes, to ideas that have come to us over email. So if you have something you'd like us to look into, let us know. We love it all, for sure. And not only do, you know, we hope we get you guys thinking about things from time to time, you guys certainly get us thinking about things. And that's what's driving some upcoming episodes that we're having later this fall. We're going to do a show on the NCAA. It's going to be an interesting show because we're going to look at more of the financial side. A lot of interesting things going on there. But for our athletes who are heading to the NCAA, what does it look like if the players get paid? Well, we're going to look at that. It's a big, big topic, and it could also change the landscape of sport top to bottom. That alone might be one of the biggest changes to sport that we've ever seen. So we'll keep our eye on that. Should it happen? Should it not happen? The Crush war on sugar will continue, ladies and gentlemen. This fall, when everybody's back on schedule, we're going to war with sugar. And all I ask, just please, if you get a chance, stop before you put that product into your mouth, whatever it might be, and just have a look how much sugar you're putting in your body. I did a presentation for a little goalie camp here a few weeks ago, Connor, and part of the presentation was the Crush war on sugar. And I just sort of at the end with the parents and the goaltenders there, just broke out some, you know, pretty common foods and beverages that kids consume over the course of the day. And, you know, like you guys have probably all seen 100 times before, we just broke down and measured out how much sugar is in each one of those products. And when we poured it all out into little paper plates so everybody could see it, and then we combined it into one big pile, we had people in that room that were speechless. The great thing was, these 8, 11, and 12-year-old goaltenders were talking sugar as they walked out the door. Mission accomplished. The Crush war on sugar will continue with a vengeance this fall as we dedicate one show per month to the Crush war on sugar.
As you were saying that, I ran out. I had to go fill up my water bottle. I looked at my drink, thought, oh, well, I'm going to take it a step further. I don't have a pop. I don't have an energy drink today, but more water, more water.
More water. And by the way, speaking of more water, if there's one thing you can do to improve your performance, and I don't care if you're a recreational athlete, right up to some of our pro guys, I have rarely seen one of our pro guys, pro athletes, guys and girls, men and women, do it right 24 hours a day. But just hydrate properly, reduce your risk of injury, sleep better, metabolize fat better, perform better. There's no downside other than you might have to go to the bathroom a little bit more. And if you're a student, aces, man, you get out of class a little bit. And if your parents or if your teachers have an issue with water bottles in your classroom, give me their number. We'll have a very candid conversation about the hydration and water. So lots of great shows coming up this fall. I want to thank Paul Carson for that great conversation. The Vice President of Membership Development for Hockey Canada. I wanted to talk about that because the Helenka Gretzky Cup is going on right now. And right beside that is the Center Ice Summit. The Oilers Entertainment Group has really put this on. And Bob Nicholson is just such a great ambassador for the game of hockey, Connor. Like, you know, his time with Hockey Canada was tremendous. And what he's doing for the Oilers, while the Oilers aren't showing yet, we'll see what happens. But what they're able to do for the game of hockey via the Edmonton Oilers hockey organization is truly, truly impressive.
Yeah. And bringing the Helenka Gretzky over, it's a very cool tournament that I think a lot of people were kind of blinded to just with it being in the Czech Republic and the time zone. Maybe you didn't get a chance to watch it, but I mean, these are the guys that are going to be these top picks in under a year. You know, next summer when there's the 2019 NHL entry draft, these are the guys that are going to go in the first round. So it's a real cool chance to get a glimpse of it and just see some of the players in that game yesterday, Canada beating the United States 6-5 in overtime. You know, yeah, maybe there was a bit of a bad call at the end there, but fair playing field going into overtime and Canada was able to get the victory. Right now, Russia leads the United States 2-0 in the bronze medal game, but Canada-Sweden tonight, 7 o'clock.
Yeah, great.
It's going to be a good one.
Yeah, it's going to be a great one. It's been great hockey. Like, it really, really has. And I'm just going to be watching some of these players. I've got my little roster, and I'm going to be tracking these guys over the next 2 or 3 years. How good can they actually get? Man, I'd love to just be a fly in the wall as some of these guys go through the next stages of their development to see what happens with them. For the guys that succeed and get better, what are they going to do? And for the guys that tend to fall off, why? Why are some of these great talents going to fall off? I mean, there's lots to learn on both sides of that. So, yeah, no, I want to thank Paul Carson for that. Connor, our text question of the day, is pro sport getting too expensive? That spurred from the conversation of Major League Baseball's drop in attendance. Baseball is a game in trouble. I have a question for you, being a big, big football fan. Is football in trouble? Well, and the reason I ask about this, Connor, is we all know what's going on with the head injury and concussion issues inside of football. And the concerns there have really spurred on a body of work that has given us information like we never imagined when it comes to not just how head injuries and brain injuries are happening, but how we assess them and manage them. And also what we need to do in terms of recovery. And we're just on the doorstep of that. We're at the very, very start of this very, very important research. But is football in trouble?
I don't think so. I mean, if football, the fans are, seem to be locked in. I mean, you are starting to see a lot of players call it quits earlier and at the pro level to collegiate level, just walking away from the game because they don't want to have these long-term effects. I think the NFL's trying. I mean, this year there's going to be the rules about contact. You can't lead with your helmet. Could result in ejection, which I think is probably not going to work for maybe this generation of players, but maybe the kids that are 10, 12 years old right now and start to learn better form tackling, more like what they do in rugby, things like that. Maybe when you're tackling, you remove the helmet so players don't use that as a weapon and realize, you know, hey, if you're going to ram your head into somebody, it's going to hurt you too. So let's get that culture out of the game. Let's get to, back to wrapping up and things like that. But I don't think it's going to hurt the game. I think the game's going to go on for a long time. The success is there. The stadiums sell out. The TV deals are outrageous. The attendance, I mean, the viewership is great. I just think that there might be a little period here where we're going to see a lot of guys, the old school guys, upset about how the game's being played.
Yeah, I agree. And that's going to be a small price to pay because it's a new generation. And we now know what we know, which we really didn't, or maybe we didn't know enough about in years gone by. But it goes back to that question in the text that came in earlier in terms of Major League Baseball being in trouble. Most teams are out of the playoffs before May. That's the text that came in. It's one of the reasons attendance is falling off. Heck yeah. You better believe it, man. The parity in baseball has always been a big concern for me. Though, you know, typically when we go into the postseason, we have a pretty even split between bottom half payrolls and top half payrolls going into the postseason. But that's one thing the NFL does absolutely right. You could be a fan of almost any team. Maybe a couple we could talk about, Connor, that might not really have a chance. But when training camp opens, don't you think that the majority of teams have a really good shot? I mean, or maybe is that a little too...
We're all optimistic. Yeah. Everyone's undefeated at the start of the year. I mean, you look at it right now, just at Major League Baseball, and I'm just throwing out the AL East.
Oh my gosh.
Rays, Jays, Orioles, all 23 games back or more. 23 is the closest.
Or way more.
Then you look at the Central's 11 games back is the closest. The races in baseball are kind of few and far in between. There is still some, but not as many. Yeah, in the NFL... things can turn around very quickly for some teams. You look at, look at the Eagles. I don't think anyone had them going to the Super Bowl this past year. Buffalo, a franchise that was out for a long time, they got back into the playoffs last year. Jacksonville looked good, turned it around very quickly. I think through free agency and, you know, drafting well, you can build your team up pretty quickly. Look at the Cleveland Browns. They've won one game in the last two seasons. And now people are saying, man, they could win six or seven games. Okay. They have a very talented roster.
We're going to get to those characters in a second, okay? Because that is one of my stories to follow. They were an NFL story last year. They're sure as heck an NFL story for me this year. But before we go to that, before we go to the top stories of the year here coming up as preseason unfolds, getting back to the, is the football in trouble? So if you remember back maybe a year ago, we had a great War on Sugar episode where we talked about the obesity rates. And if you remember, we talked to some people in the police service and in the military, and they were getting very, very concerned. They can't find recruits that meet the standards to serve because of the obesity rates and overweight rates. And Connor, that's a serious, serious shot across the bow for everybody. But in football, something similar, okay? So the game, the pro game is very healthy. They're going to crack and probably meet all the revenue goals this year, which is great. The attendance is going to be fantastic. The NFL is a machine. It can't be stopped, for sure. But what about the feeder system? Listen to this. Concerns over brain injury have sort of spurred on a trend in high school football. High school football participation is down 5% since 2008. And overall, while overall high school participation in sport is up 13%. So while participation in sport is going up, football is going down. Is this a dangerous trend we're seeing?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, if you were a parent right now, when you want your child to get a scholarship or, you know, pursue something in sports, and he's a very talented quarterback, but he's also a very talented pitcher. I mean, which direction are you going to try to guide them? And I would think it'd be baseball, just with the long-term effects, and you want your child to live a long, healthy life. Baseball is the obvious answer there.
Golf,
tennis, absolutely. Those guys make money too, right? They do very well. There's lots of sports you can play. I think it was Kurt Warner famously said he'd be giving his kid a golf club instead of a football.
Yeah,
send him in that direction.
Yeah. So is that going to be a concern now? The NFL has to really do some goodwill on a bunch of different levels in order to save the game. Now, what we know and what we're learning about how to deal with head injuries and how they actually happen, that's going to change and help a lot of young athletes avoid injury for sure. In any contact sport, of course, the risk is always there. But an interesting question, and we see those trends. We're going to be watching those high school trends with great, great interest over the next couple of years. Okay, let's get to it. The NFL preseason, Connor, is underway. Let's have some fun here, okay? The top stories for you. Like, if you were to pick five, two, three, or your top story, what would they be?
Top stories, oh, well, I want to see the young quarterbacks. That's always something for me. So Baker Mayfield, will he get in Cleveland? One that I really watch is the Kansas City situation with Pat Mahomes. They traded up to get him last year. This past offseason, they traded Alex Smith away. Can he step in? That's a team that went to the playoffs for, what, two, three straight seasons. You're handing it over to a young guy who's got a lot of potential, but there's speed bumps when you're a rookie. Those things could happen as well. So that's one for sure. The Los Angeles Rams, that defense, they brought in a lot of talent, but a lot of character concerns as well. So if they get off to a rocky start, what's going to happen? And then I think one more I'll throw it in there. Le'Veon Bell, the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Right.
Not going to count for the second straight year. Injuries happen. You're not in football shape. I just wonder if that's going to slow them down at all.
Okay, I like it. I like all three of those. And I really like the Rams thing because youngest coach, I think, last year.
Sean McVay.
Yeah, really great. I thought they had a good year last year. But do you think this is going to be an all or none year for the Rams, right?
I think they're very similar to the Minnesota Vikings where it's kind of Super Bowl or bust right now. One of those teams is not going to make it. One of them might make it. They both have very talented rosters. But like I said, that with the defense that the players that they added, Marcus Peters, Ndamukong Suh, and Aqib Talib, things go wrong, I question what could happen.
The Rams are one of my top three teams to watch this year. We're going to do an NFL show in September, but they're one of my top three teams to watch for that very reason, man. These guys could be really good. It's going to be interesting to see how that comes together. Hey, I have a question for you. Andrew Luck.
That should be a question for you. How is he going to respond? Hasn't played football in a few years, obviously. Went to Europe for that risky procedures and all that. He's something you have to watch for sure. Because if he doesn't hold up, that team is in trouble.
Okay, we'll continue this conversation for sure. Hey, everybody, I want to thank you for tuning in today. We have to thank Paul Carson for joining us. Great, great conversations on development and also one of the games we truly love, baseball. We hope they can turn it around. I want to thank everybody for their text today. We're going to be giving away a couple Deluxe Burger gift certificates, so thanks for writing in. Hey, listen, the very fabric of sport, we're having a couple of episodes coming up in the fall talking about coaching development. I'm asking a question of all coaches. What are the top five things you'd like to learn more about to help you be a better coach? We didn't get to that today, but I'd like you to write to us, info@crushperformance.com, and let us know. We're going to be following up later in the fall with those two episodes. So until next week, everybody, have a great time out there. Go out, get better, and we'll talk to you next week on Crush Performance.
Goodbye now. Don't forget to write.
This is the Landry Football with Chris Landry. Quick fix on Radio Influence.
Hard to watch preseason games, people ask. Starters don't play at all. What do you look for? Really important, folks. Yeah, starters don't play a lot. If you watch a football game and you know your football team, starters are a misnomer. Situational football means you got more than 22 starters. The offensive line, you've got a starter. Quarterback, you got a starter. Yeah, you have your best receiver, your second best receiver. You have that. You have a tight end. But you're talking in different packages, especially on defense. You've got guys that play on rundowns specific, passing down specific. You've got multiple guys in the secondary. You've got special teams, which no one pays attention to, but should. The importance of being able to cover, being able to block, be able to make plays, to be able to make a difference in field position. All those things are really important. It is not followed enough, paid attention to enough by the fan, and that's okay if that's what you want. But if you want to be a more learned fan, I challenge you to watch all aspects of the game. Watch how young guys play. Watch how the play progression takes place. Don't worry about scheme. Look at young guys, how well they play, how hard they play. They're going to make mistakes. This guy makes mistakes. Folks, that's all part of learning. Repeated mistakes is one thing, but really important to understand that when you're watching preseason football, you watch situations. Be not concerned about the score of the game. Be concerned about how the play is, the performance of the game.
Chris Landry brings you Landry Football every week on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, RadioInfluence.com.